I'm so comfortable with Tim and Elizabeth that at the very beginning of worship, it just felt like you guys were home. And so I didn't even think about, hey, we got a special guest and I need to introduce them to you guys. But so right at the beginning, Elizabeth helped lead worship, and she's leads up with Tim up at Hill Country Church, and you did a phenomenal job. Thank you so much for leading worship this morning and with the rest of our team. But literally, it's like I felt like we got family home, and so you don't really have to feel like you have to introduce family to family. But family, this is my family. I just want y'all to understand that. And I just want to say this real quick as I bring up Tim. The importance of having family relationships in the kingdom is so key and important. And you got Peter, James, and John that hung out together with Jesus and did life, did relationship, but then they went out and they individually ministered, and they also went two by two and ministered. But there was something about this connection point, even though they had different callings and different places that they would go and minister to over the course of their life, there was something about that family relationship that allowed them to really transform Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the outermost parts of the world. And for me, a couple years ago, as we really came to the city, I was really praying about, Father, I don't want to just have relationships in the local body. I need other men and women who I can look up to, run with, that will sharpen me. And I'm going to tell you this. There's been a handful of guys, but very few, that have meant to me what Tim and Elizabeth have meant to me these last several years, that we went through some different transitions in our church and mission and vision. And throughout it all, Tim continued to be as a big brother, pouring into me and encouraging me and building me up. And it's an honor to be called a fellow minister of the gospel of Jesus with Tim in this region. And I'm telling you, there is not many people I would want to bring in. I mean, we just had Dan come in, and it was incredible. But I'm telling you, what Tim's going to release this morning is equally powerful, because he is a father in this region. Like, there's an authority that he has on his life, a calling in his life to minister in this region, unlike somebody else might have because of the territory that God's given him to take. And so when we were looking at it, I've been telling him for a while, I was like, I've got to get you in, because it's so important for our family to hear what's on your heart, what you carry, and receive it. So I want you guys to be like sponges, and I want you to really just have open hearts and receive what God has for you this morning, as Tim brings the word to us too. So if y'all would just stand up and give honor as Tim comes up on the platform and gives us a message.
Thanks, bro. Thank you. All right. Just a tiny bit of my backstory. I grew up, my dad was a traveling minister, so every week we went to a different church. From the time I was 12 till I left for school, and it was always interesting when you went somewhere that was home. If you didn't have a home, then you looked forward to places you were going that had a relationship. And like Jay said, this is just like coming to family today. I don't know most of you, but I know your leader. And I know what God has done with us. And it's kind of like, I'm going to use a movie analogy, which I don't often do. But it was like if anyone ever saw Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in the 80s, it was like finding Bill S. Preston Esquire when I found this guy. It was a gift from the Lord just to begin to connect. And we have a vision for the region. And how many know, if you have a vision for the region, you have to have connection with the churches that are like-minded. Did you notice I didn't say everyone? We're not called to be in conflict. We're called to be in unity. So we just find the people that we're in connection with, that God is connecting with us. And so we're just grateful to be here today. Hey, do you have that mic? Elizabeth's going to do something with me real quick. I'm actually going to share something that is not in my notes, and so I'm going to be quick because I have a ton in my notes. I really feel like the Lord wants to say. But last night I felt like he spoke a scripture to me when we were at our worship night, and our people are just getting going at 10:30, so they're still rocking over in San Marcos right now. And I felt like the Lord just spoke to me, and he spoke a scripture out of Habakkuk. It's in Habakkuk 3, and it talks about what happens when his praise fills the earth. I know that not only is his glory supposed to fill the earth, but the result of his glory being manifest on earth is praise. Amen? Amen. That actually means that you have a responsibility in the whole picture of the kingdom of God for actually the kingdom of God spreading on earth. And it's not just you doing, it's actually you being the people of praise. And I felt like the Lord was just speaking to me this morning that there's actually about to be a sound that's going to be released out of you guys. And it's a sound, and it has everything to do with like Love New Braunfels. But it does have to do with your worship time. And it does have to do with your time of intimacy with him. All of it connects. Have you found that out? As you walk with him, it all connects. And I feel like, but the result of that, when his praise filled the earth, it says this in two verses down. It says, he stood up and it shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed because his ways are eternal. And what I want you to see is as because there's seasons of new sound being released, and it's from God's people. It's from you encountering him, and from that place, it actually does something in you. If you haven't figured this out, the music is not the warm-up for the word. Amen? The music is actually just supposed to help you begin to lift up your expression of praise to the Father. And as that begins to happen, if I read this correctly, age-old systems and mountains in New Braunfels, in our region of poverty and sickness and pain and confusion and political spirits and division, all those things will crumble as you begin to let the sound of praise out of you. That's actually the result of praise. But I want to tell you, praise is a choice. Your praise is a choice. I tell our people all the time that show up, we start at 10:30, that show up at 11, you're missing the best part. You're missing the main event. Like, please don't come to hear me. I am not the main event. Our praise and worship to him is a main event. We're going to give him our very best. And with this place, it's all in. I've just never found that praise and worship is ever what it could be when we're half in. You know, like, well, if I just get stirred up, how are you going to respond when it's just God saying, I'm putting a mantle on you? And I really felt like I saw a mantle just going down onto the house to just begin to praise and break through and push in. And so I'm actually going to have Elizabeth come up and pray for you guys because she carries this mantle. Yeah, or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we have stairs we can hop up and down, so I can easily interrupt, but it's kind of hard when you have to go all the way around. It's like an event. Thank you, Jesus. The declaration is that his glory fills the earth. We aren't looking for your glory, God. We are expressing your glory. We are seeing your glory because it's here, it's all around, and we are calling forth the manifestation of your glory. High and lifted up, let your train fill the temple. That's our lives. Our bodies, our homes, our region. God, let your glory fill the temple.
Yes.
Right now we release a mantle of praise, a mandate from heaven to use your words, to use your bodies, to use what God has given you to declare his greatness in all the earth. We say yes to you, God. We agree with heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus told us to pray it. That is our prayer. That is our mandate. Heaven on earth. Let your glory fill the temple. And we just declare a divine commissioning on our mouths. To declare, you are good and your love endures forever.
Amen.
That is our praise declaration. Just like Solomon when he dedicated the temple. You are good and your love endures forever. And the glory of the Lord filled the place. They weren't all indoors. It was everywhere. There was glory. They hit the deck. Glory, because we declare that you are good and your love endures forever. The manifestation of your glory on the earth. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Oh, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise. Ever be on my lips.
The great thing about a commissioning is it always comes with grace and ability. It always comes with enabling to go where you've never gone before. That's where he wants to take you. How many know he said he'll be safe. He didn't say that we'll be comfortable. He said he'll keep us safe. He never promised that we would be comfortable. Because most of us prefer what we know. But God wants to take us to where we've never been before. And so I just really want to encourage you, as you begin even personally and corporately to go places you've never been before, enjoy it. Enjoy him, because he's always there. If he's leading you there, he's always there. And so that wasn't what I'm going to talk about today. That was just what I felt like the Lord was just doing right there in the middle of worship. But today I actually want to talk to you. But before I get started, I want to say hi to Joseph and Veronica. They're from our church. They drive from New Braunfels, so they saved 30 minutes today. So I see they got 30 minutes more sleep today. Actually not, because you had to be here at 10. So... But I just want to say hi to them. We love them so much. I believe God's got a big call on their life for what they want us to do in the region. So I really want to talk to you about the increase of faith today. And I want to go at it from a totally different angle than mainly I want to remove all the ideas that faith comes by effort. And I want to just talk to you about what was Jesus saying when he was inviting them in. Why were the disciples declaring, God, we need more faith, increase our faith? Because God actually had an offer for them. So if you'll just turn with me to Luke 17. Jesus is just teaching the boys. And he's just talking to them about what God has in store for their life. And then he drops a bombshell on them here in Luke 17. He invites them into the supernatural beyond where they ever dreamed they could go. And how does he do it? He uses the example of walking in greater relationship with people than we've ever could do in the natural. If we understand that God's kingdom is calling us to live supernaturally. So God's kingdom is not asking you to live at your best. Everyone understand that? God's kingdom is actually asking you to live at your true identity, which is birthed in his kingdom, his supernatural ability, his gifts, his anointings. He wants you to be flowing in that all the time, not just in your effort. And so Jesus is talking to the disciples, and they're probably thinking, we're doing pretty good. We've been seeing some miracles. We've been seeing, you know, we've been preaching the gospel. We've been living with Jesus. And Jesus says this in verse 3. He says, so watch yourselves. I know when Jesus said that, their ears probably perked up. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. I think we're really good at the rebuking part. Really. I've been in the church a long time. Everyone's really embraced the rebuking part. But actually, forget the repentance and forgiveness part is the key to the verse. It says, if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because they knew he was inviting them to a place they had never been before. It was supernatural relationship. How do you know that at your best, you know, someone hurts you and you say, okay, I forgive you. One time. But if Larry just keeps repeatedly offending and hurting me, and even let's just say intentionally, and then comes and says, hey, I'm so sorry, forgive me. The supernatural call here is actually God saying there is a grace to live in relationship that will say, I forgive you and I mean it. Not I forgive you because I have to. I forgive you because I mean it. Why? There's a grace that's working in your life. You're understanding what it looks like to be in family. You're understanding what it looks like to be in relationship. You're understanding what it looks like to be a body. And then all of a sudden they realize, man, we thought we were doing so good, but God, increase our faith because that looks impossible. Why? Because they're walking with Peter. They're walking with Thomas. If you read their personalities, they're difficult. And they're having to think, oh man, I don't get to live offended anymore is what he's saying. I don't get to be ruled by my own emotions anymore. I don't get to just choose to not like someone anymore. God is saying there's a higher level and we've never even dreamed of living there. So what do they say? Increase our faith. Our belief system is what's going to take us into the realms of the supernatural, not our effort. They didn't just say, God, teach us a little more how to do that. And he could have shown them, but they didn't because they knew that even if you show us how to do it, the real thing that we need is we have to believe differently. We have to believe that we can live there. We have to believe that there's a greater call. We have to believe that God is asking us to be a different kind of people. And so we understand that. How many of you have ever said, God, increase my faith? But oftentimes I think we do it when we think that we're failing and we're like, someone didn't get healed, like, God, give us more faith. Actually, the increase of faith is supposed to be something that we're seeing the higher call and just saying, God, I know that's who you're calling me to be. In Corinthians, it actually says this. He says, I want you to live without any yeast on the inside of you as you really are. Do you know that there is a kingdom person that God crafted and molded on the inside of you that's who you really are? It's beyond all your emotions, beyond all your baggage, all your past, all your pains. It's who you really are. Now, I'm not going to teach on identity today because I know Jay does a good job on that. Plus, it would just ransack where we're going. And so I just want to talk to you for a minute about how do we increase in faith? See, our belief system is what allows us to do the works of the Father. See, in John 6, Jesus is talking and he says this. He says, to do the works of the Father is to believe the one whom he sent. So what he's saying is not to do the works of the Father is to do miracles or to prophesy or to see healing coming out of your hands. And guys, I just want to say, those are so, we value those so much, but those are the overflow of kingdom living. They are not the goal. The goal is to be with him. The goal is to be like him. The goal is to be like dad and we're his kids. That's the goal. And anytime that the miracles or anything like that take the place of being with him, I just want to tell you, we're out of order. But here's the great thing. When you're like him, guess what happens? Miracles, prophecy, all the overflow of the kingdom of God, it's just natural. And you're not even striving to do it anymore. It's just who you are. It's coming out. It's just overflowing. The word overflow is interesting. It actually just means you can't contain what it all is on the inside of you. And so that's what the Father's wanting to, he's inviting us to do that. Belief is the door to living supernaturally. I want to uncomplicate faith today. Faith is how you believe. Faith is how you believe. And you'll recognize that they were saying, we don't believe that we can do that, so we need you to increase our belief system. And so we just begin to see, and now I could go so many places here in the scripture, but I just want to tell you this, that in the kingdom of God, there's two currencies that will get you everywhere. Faith is the door that's going to get you into the supernatural, but hunger is so important. If we understand that hunger and faith run together, you've got to be hungry for the things of the kingdom. In order to begin to believe differently, you've got to be hungry. How many of you have ever in here been really hungry before? I don't mean like it's 1 o'clock and I haven't had lunch hungry. I mean like I fasted for quite a few days or something. I'm starving. Me and Jay have a food love language. We've met at Herbert's every time we've ever met. Why? Because I like to eat and I don't like to be hungry in the natural. But let me tell you, the balance to being hungry is believing for more and believing that God's going to give you something. See, hunger has a result and it's actually being fulfilled. Please don't glorify your hunger. Find a meal. Find something to eat in him. Be satisfied. The other side of that is believe for more. Believe for more in what God's asking of you. And so we begin to see that and we begin to understand. See, in Galatians, they realized that the danger they were in is they had believed. How many of you know you all got in the kingdom because you believed? Right? You're all here because you believed. Not because of how good you were. Not because you said the right things. Not even because you said a special prayer inviting him into our heart. It was your belief that brought you into the kingdom of God. And your belief is to continue to grow and expand. It's never to be like, oh, that's what got me in. No, it's what's going to take you everywhere. And so one of the things that we have to displace about faith is that we have faith in faith. We have, I just need more faith. No, you need more revelation of God and you will have faith. How many of you have ever tried to investigate your faith? I wonder how much faith I have. Have you found that it's hard to measure? Because it's immeasurable. Faith is, the minute we begin to measure by amount, we begin to miss the mark. Faith is measured by the amount of revelation you're having in God. And then you'll believe him. See, if we believe he's good, and this is where we're about to go, then you will believe in a different way. You will believe about things differently. If you don't believe he's good, then hard things will happen. You'll be like, well, maybe he's trying to teach me something. Let me just tell you, that's damaging theology. We have an enemy. He hates you. His mission statement is to come and steal and kill you. Steal from you and kill you. That's his mission statement. And we have given so much authority to the enemy and said, you know, this is what he wants to do. And then when bad things begin to happen in our lives, we got, well, God, what are you doing to me? It's the enemy. And we've got to understand that, or we'll build bad theology like God's making me sick to teach me a lesson. Then that, with that thinking, you're not even allowed to go to the doctor because you're trying to get out of the lesson. See, God, he doesn't punish us to draw us. He's a good father. If I gave my kids a virus to teach them a lesson, I would be put in jail as a bad father. Right? The world would look at me like, terrible dad. And then we attribute things like that to our father. And so we have to understand how important our belief system is. See, in Mark 11, 22, it just says, have faith in God. So simple. Like, come on, teach us something else. No, what I'm trying to show you is that everything comes from who you're focused on, who you're seeing. And so we begin to do that. Well, how do we increase, right? That's a good question. Hey, we know we need more belief system. We know we need a higher belief system. We know we need more faith. We're like those apostles where God shows us something huge. And he's saying, this is what I have for you. And like, God, increase our faith. When he shows me new things, I'd like to say that all the time, like, yeah, we can do that. Now, that's my personality generally. But when it's really big, I'm like, God, you're going to have to just help me believe that. And I mean believe it in spirit, soul, and body, meaning that my emotions believe it, my thinking believes it, I dream about it, everything coming out of me is an overflow of believing that that's going to happen. Let me give you an example of this. When the Lord first began to just speak to us about miracles and we were in just such an interesting place where we were redigging wells of revival in our house and we were reading the Bible, and all of a sudden it just hit us. We've got to look like this. Amen? We got to look like this. I'm tired of hearing people preach about it and not look like it. You know, like, these things got to be normal. Jesus just said it like this. He said, hey, heal the sick, raise the dead. Same sentence. So we just began to really push in and begin to see a lot of healing miracles. And guess what happened? A lot of people began to call the church and just say, can we come pray? Now, unfortunately at the time, we didn't have a lot of people trained up, ready to go, but we do now, so we don't have to go as much, but we would just go. People called. Why? Because we were hungry to see the expression. We were believing for a new place, for that call to the supernatural, to live above where we were living. And so we were going. And then one day, it was an interesting call. We got a call and we said, hey, there's a young man that fell out of his apartment in New Braunfels, fell three stories down, and he landed headfirst, and he's dead. Would you come pray for him? But God had been preparing us, and so we were like, yes, we'll come. And so Elizabeth was busy, and so I took two young guys that are in the church. One's now our youth pastor. The other one's heading for Reading next week to go to BSSM. And I took them with me, and we get, and it's a Catholic hospital. Now, I have a card that will kind of get me in anywhere. But these two young guys, they're with me, and they're like, who are they? And then she goes, are you a priest? And I thought, okay, here's my time. And I said, I am. Said, scripturally, the Lord calls me a priest. And she said, what about them? And I said, they're priests in training. And she said, good, you're in. So we get in there, and then, so we're believing. We're worshiping all the way. We're praying on the way up there. And then reality hits. We walk in the room. There he is, 36 hours since the accident, no surgery, nothing, because he's completely brain dead. And in an hour, they're pulling the plug. The parents of everyone's already said goodbye. They say, you have an hour, which I thought was pretty generous. Usually they're like, you have 5 minutes. So we got in there, and I'd like to say we knew what we were doing. But we knew who we believed, and we knew what he said. And we got in there, and we just started worshiping. And next thing I know, I look, and one of the young guys, if you ever want to go somewhere new, take young people with you, is crawled up on the bed with him like this. And he's like, Jesus. And he's just worshiping. And the nurse walks in and she's like, whoa. And I'm like, hey, they told us we could do whatever. And she was like, whatever. And just walked out. And we're just praying and worshiping. Why? Because we have a belief system that there's something. Had we ever seen it? No. Was it new to us? Yes. Had we failed at it before? Yes. But we're in there. And glory came in the room. That's the only way I know how to describe it. And we just prayed and we worshiped. We declared. We prophesied. We did everything we knew to do. How do you know that sometimes what you know is where you go? And so we're just in there and we're just worshiping and praying. And God, hour, nothing. So they come in, they're like, your hour's up. And they were very grateful. They're like, thank you, you did your best. And I was pretty frustrated. I was like, our best stunk. But we got in the car, and crazy enough, in the whole thing, I started battling a kidney stone. I knew that was a full-on attack. And we're just in the car on the way back, and I'm hurting, and we're just worshiping. And my phone rings. I say, hey, we just pulled the plug. And he started breathing. He's fully alive. Oh, he's talking. Now, if you had seen, there was like a full indention, like where he landed. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, we're going into surgery in an hour. And they're like, this is a miracle. And they even got the nurse on the phone and she said, this is a miracle. What y'all were doing in there was real. What am I saying? He took us somewhere we didn't know just because we believed. It wasn't like we had great faith. It wasn't like we went in. We had crazy, radical, bold faith. But I don't know if it was mature faith. And what am I saying? I said, God is wanting to teach us how to increase in faith. So how do we increase? Well, I think there's an interesting verse in Peter, and we're going to get there. First Peter. No, actually, it's 2 Peter. Sorry. 2 Peter, I'm going to start in 3 because it's some good stuff. It says, his divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of him who called you by his own glory and goodness. How many know that's a crazy verse? Let's live it. Through these, he has given us very great precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Can I tell you the way to escape what the enemy is trying to do is to participate in the divine nature? Amen? That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say, be afraid of the evil. Be afraid of the times. Listen, we got to be a people full of hope. How many have been on the Facebook in the last 24 hours? Yeah, it's okay. I'm not condemning you. I have. How many notice it's pretty discouraging for one event in Virginia? Why? Because people believe the worst. Oh, the country's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, like, it's not going to work out. God's not going to move. We're in full division. We're looking for more civil war. No. We're looking for God's church to rise up and have a different voice and have a different sound and believe for something differently. And how do you escape the evil corruptions of division and stuff? The church participating in the divine nature looking like Jesus. It will stop it. It will stop it. And if you want to believe for that, go on ahead. But it's poor belief. I call it low-level believing. Like the world can believe in the worst. He never called us to look like the world, especially in our belief patterns. And so we begin to see that. So let's just go on. That was all for free. For this very reason. What? So you can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now there's a bunch more of them. Goodness. But we're going to start with goodness because why? We're increasing our faith. And what he's saying is you have to add to your faith goodness. Now, the first thing I want to break down is that oftentimes when you hear this taught on, they begin to teach on good works. How many of you ever heard that preaching? It's not bad preaching. I just want to tell you that actually I believe that what the apostle is saying is actually this. That Peter is saying, hey, add to your faith the revelation of his goodness. You want to increase in faith, you have to add to the revelation that he is good. And now the interesting thing is the Greek word the root Greek word right here for add to doesn't mean just addition. It doesn't mean it comes through by knowledge. It doesn't mean that Jay is going to get up here and teach you something and all of a sudden you will be added to. You will have your belt and it will be another thing that goes in your belt. Listen, the church has gotten too much in the idea that like we have a belt full of things and we'll just pull them out when we need them. No, everything in the kingdom is relational. The Father didn't give you a belt. He gave you the Holy Spirit so you can actually relate with him to have them. And he's saying, I want to add to, and the word add to is actually the Greek word for choreographer. And it actually means that he wants to actually begin to lead you in a dance or a journey to take you somewhere. So it's not just a simple, oh, I need to believe he's good more. No, he wants to lead you and show you and take you places and say, this is what my goodness looks like. This is how good I am. Maybe you have hard areas in your life and you're like, God, how can you be good? And he's going to dance you right over there and say, this is how my goodness looks in that situation. Some of you might be thinking, that's too good to be true. That's called the gospel good news. The good news of the gospel is too good to be true. In the natural, but in the supernatural, it makes total sense. Things that used to be hard to believe now are believable. But then when it's hard to believe something like, oh, that can't be God. No, he wants to lead you over there. He wants to dance with you and say, hey, you know how you're having a hard time with that? I used to think he was frustrated with me all the time when I was a kid. He'd be like, why are you believing that way? And then I realized, no, this guy is a lover. And he wants to take me places that are hard and say, hey, you're having a hard time with this? Let me explain it to you. Let me show you. Let's dance over there so you understand that I'm in the lead. Because the word actually means he's leading and you're following. And he wants to add to your faith the revelation of his goodness. That he is good. Why is it so important? Well, I know this, that the children of Israel, when they're training their children, the first thing they taught them is he is good and his love endures forever. Why? Because they were trying to teach them a foundational truth that if you understand this, you will see everything through the lens of his goodness. I just want to suggest to you today that many of us have been handed a broken lens. That he's not good, that he's angry, that he's frustrated, that he's impersonable, that he's way up in heaven and we're down here and he's just watching. That's called deism. It's a broken theology. He's right here with us and he's good. And so what begins to happen when his goodness, I've got to speed up here, but I just want to say this. The first thing is this, as we begin to see his goodness and increase in his goodness, what begins to happen to us is this, that it strengthens our foundation. Your whole foundation is built on the idea that he's good and loving. And if we struggle with that, I just want to tell you, you're going to struggle with your foundation. Because when the enemy comes and begins to release things, how many know he always accuses the Father? He never says, hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing in your life. He says, why isn't God here? Why is he not protecting you? What's going on? He's an accuser of God. He's never got any new tricks. It's the same from the garden. And he's accusing God. And listen, if we have a foundation, we actually have something to stand up and it's like weaponry that pulls out against the enemy. And we have to understand that this is a foundational truth. See, earlier on in 1 Peter 2, he's talking about, he says this, because you have tasted of the goodness of God, now you have become living stones and there's a precious stone. What precious stone is that? The chief cornerstone that is foundational in your life. What he's saying is you will never experience him as the chief cornerstone if you haven't experienced his goodness. It will just be a philosophy in your life or maybe a saying on your wall. He's my chief cornerstone. No, I'm saying it's deeper than that. It becomes core. He's good no matter what. And what's going on in my life is if it's not good, it's not from him. And if it's not good, it's not the end. Elizabeth wrote that little tagline for that psalm because we had so many people struggling in their belief system because they would say, well, what about this? What about this? Man, I have great friends from California. They're going to be here in 2 weeks. They are our spiritual parents. We love them to death. They lost their daughter 7 years ago. And we were at their place just several months after they lost their adult daughter. And she actually died in the woman's arms, in her mom's arms. And we were at their place. And she stood up and she said, I will not attribute the works of my enemy to the goodness of my king. I turned to Elizabeth and I said, I don't know anyone like these people. Because they understand something about God that I don't quite understand yet. But I'm going to get right around them so that it begins to rub off on me. Why? Because I want to have a core when the enemy comes and even tries to steal something, we say, we will not attribute this to the goodness of our king. See, I can feel it pushing on people right now because we all have areas where we're like, where was God in this? And I just want to tell you, it's beyond that. It's a belief system that says, I know he's good. And I don't just even mean in eternity. I mean he's good here, right now. He's good in your life, right now. And it's got to become a foundational thing. See, it's so interesting because then it goes on to say that if he is our chief cornerstone, that those that trust in him will never be shaken and put to shame. See, then it actually begins to build a stability in you to actually believe for more. I believe that's why it starts with goodness so that we can add all the other things because it's the foundational piece. Your belief gets you in the door, but your revelation of goodness is what holds you there. He wants to tell you he's good today. He wants it to become a chief cornerstone in your life. You can't earn his goodness. He's already good. And it's interesting too. I just want to just point this out, that the minute you begin to see his goodness, you begin to see Jesus in a different way, because then Jesus becomes a personal experience with you, that because of God's goodness, he sent Jesus to me. You actually begin to rejoice in who Jesus is in your life. It actually begins to produce a fruit of goodness of who he is in your life. Come on now, that's good news. Second thing, and I'm going to do these real quick, is that you recognize his desire to be close to you when you know his goodness. Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy, what? They follow me all the days of my life. Yeah, it's going to chase you down. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word for follow doesn't just mean God's like, hey, I'm over here, I'm good. It actually, the word means he is accosting you or pursuing you and tackle. The word means to be tackled by his goodness. Why? Because there's areas of our life that don't see him as good. And he's saying, no, I'm going to come and tackle you and show you how good I am. I'm going to accost you and say, no, that area of belief that you're believing right there is not that I'm good, and I'm going to actually show you how good I am. And from that, you're going to see my desire is to be close to you. See, if we don't believe he's good, it's an area of separation. And you say, no, I came so I could be close with you. So I'm going to pursue you with my goodness so me and you can be as close as we're meant to be. And we can dwell in his house forever. See, we have to understand that. We have to understand it's his desire. And if we don't understand that, then we'll be like the prodigal in Luke 15. Where he comes home and he doesn't understand that the Father is good. And he comes to him and he says, I know I've really messed this whole deal up. And so if you'll just let me be a servant, and I'll just obey and do what you say. I don't need any inheritance. I don't even need to be called son. I just want to be part of your house. See, he didn't understand how good the Father was. And the Father, first of all, has already told him how much he loves him by running down the road. And then he meets him. He says, bring a ring. Bring a robe. Kill the fatted calf. I want to show him how good I am and that his conduct does not determine my goodness. Your conduct does not determine his goodness. And a lot of us are living like the prodigal in Luke 15, and we're just saying, well, I'll just be a slave because if he knew my past, there's no way I could be an inherited son. Impossible if you know his goodness. All right, real quick. It causes us to live in joy. In 2 Chronicles 6:41, it actually says they were teaching the people, and it says, and we rejoice in his goodness. There's a joy that comes from knowing he's good. I so want you to just catch this, that you are made to be joyful. You are made to be joyful. If you just say, well, that's just not my personality, I want to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. You are made to be joyful because the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. That's what Luke tells us. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So you don't get a pass on being joyful. You don't. There's no pass on it. God's actually saying, I've made you to be joyful. Why? Because the world is not joyful. And they're spewing out all kinds of negativity and anger and hurt and pain. And he's saying, I need you to look different. And I want you to be called joyful. I want joy to be the result of your life. And it says, how did they do that? They rejoiced in his goodness. You begin to see the goodness of God in your life. It'll make you happy. But joy is greater than happy. Do you know that happy comes from the root word for it? It's happenstance. Whatever is happening in your life will make you happy. Joy is an internal kingdom thing. It's actually one of those that increase our belief system. You can be joyful all the time. That's how James says, hey, in various trials, guys, count it all joy. He's not saying buckle up and grin. He's saying, no, there's a joy to be found in it. There's a joy to be found in it. It's supernatural. You're not going to get here in the natural. Find it in the supernatural. Get in his goodness and say, God, I know you're good. And I'm going to be joyful. I could go on that one forever. Number four, people are drawn to your expression of his goodness in your life. Let me read you a verse. In case you're one of those that just said, prove it, I will. Psalms 142:7. Set me free from my prison that I might praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. There are people waiting to gather around you because of the revelation of the goodness of God in your life. As you begin to express joy and you begin to have a foundation that he's good and you begin to understand all these things and what he's doing, you begin to recognize that I get to be in his presence because he is good and he has called me there and called me son or daughter. People will be clamoring to be around you. I don't know where most of you came from, but I did not come from the church building mentality, like seeker friendly, like we do everything for people and they'll show up. That just wasn't the mentality we grew up in. But as I begin to see that, I begin to realize there was something foundationally wrong with it, that actually if you read the scriptures, you should be so attractive that people want to come here. You'll never need a billboard. I'm not saying anything wrong with marketing. I'm just saying, the greatest marketing that should be happening is what's God doing in your life. And people are like, man, I got to get around that J guy. Or they might be saying, I don't know what it is, but something's different about him. Something's different, and I got to get around him. And then you say, then it's real simple to say, people say, what happened? And say, well, come and see on Sunday. Listen, it's the expression of his goodness in your life. It actually bears fruit. It bears the increase of faith. If you can't feel more faith in here now than when we started, then I want to encourage you, let the goodness of God stir in you. I'm going to end with this. If you're struggling with the idea, because you're like, oh, you're just a positive person. I had someone sit in my office a few years ago, and we're talking about an extremely difficult moment in their life. Jay, you know these. They show up and they tell you, and you're like, I couldn't even dreamed up something that hard. People amaze me with the stuff they get into. And he's telling me this, and I just begin to just say the truth of the goodness of God, the truth of the gospel, the truth of how much God loves him, the truth of all that. And he turns to me and goes, that's a pretty Pollyanna approach to this situation. And I said, you know what? I was trying to be nice. I was frustrated. And I was like, Holy Spirit, what do I say? And he said, you challenge him that this is not Pollyanna thinking. This is kingdom thinking. And I just said, you can take that approach, but I want to tell you, there's a kingdom thinking that God's going to hand you that can actually redeem this whole situation. But without that thinking, redemption will just be something of an idea in your life. And you will never experience it, because God says that it takes faith to get into all of his principles, and redemption is going to require you to believe differently. And I feel like the Lord is just saying in here that he's wanting to redeem some moments. How you know the scripture says he wants to redeem time? How you know that can be past times? He wants to redeem time. He wants to redeem hard times in your life. He wants to redeem those moments where you can close your eyes and rehearse it and it feels just like it's going on right then. He wants to redeem those. I don't know if that's possible. With God, all things are possible. He wants to do it. I'll tell you, he'll do it. He'll take away even that the sensations that begin to match up with that and begin to rehearse it in your mind again. He'll take it away. Say, well, where does he take it? To the abyss. He throws it in. He's already dealt with it. And so let's just stand up. We're gonna end like this. And I know I went long today, but that's just who I am. I always am right at the tape. I'd like everyone to close their eyes just for a minute. I'm not going to scare you into anything here. We're going to believe our way right into some freedom. How many want to believe your way right into some freedom? Because I can't believe for you. I've learned that. That one's been a frustrating one for me. I just want to believe for everyone. But God's looking for your partnership right now. Maybe there's areas in your life that you just say, where was God when this was going on? If that's you and it's been a real struggle to find the goodness of God in some areas, if that's you, and remember, every eye's closed in here, I'd like you to raise your hand. It's okay. It's more than half the hands in the room. But God's wanting to come redeem that right now. He wants to redeem it in your life. He wants to come and take your hand, begin to dance with you and say, now I'm going to show you where my goodness is in this. I'm going to show you the power of my redemption. I'm going to show you what it looks like when the cross touches something painful. It's called healing. So if you had your hand up right now, we're just going to start with that. Just welcome his goodness into your life. Welcome it right into that area. I want you to see him right there in it. See him declaring redemption. See him declaring his goodness. See him declaring forgiveness, maybe, for those who have hurt you. Yeah, just drink him in. He's that good. Elizabeth and I have a saying we say all the time, redemption beyond our wildest dreams. Don't limit him in the amount of redemption.
I just want to share a quick testimony just in this moment, because I feel like that God wants to go after anxiety and fear, panic attacks, nighttime terrors, that sort of thing. But we had a lady in our church about 2 years ago who came who was broken. She could hardly even look you in the eye. She was fearful. She was had, you know, anxieties and panic attacks, all these things. And we just watched God bring freedom in her life as she embraced the Father's love for her, because she, you know, wanted to be a slave in his house. And he just brought her as a daughter. And this is the testimony. So a while back, her mother passed away. And we, of course, it was sad, but we were speaking with her. And she said, you know, last night I was at home by myself after her mother died, and I tried to have a panic attack, and I couldn't. That's impossible by the world's standards. That's what happens in the transformational power of God.
Yeah.
And I just want to release that over you right now, because it's the revelation of his goodness. It's the revelation and a belief system that you are loved by the Father. There's nothing the enemy can throw at you that can stand. And he just wants to redeem some of that, even if anxiety plagues you.
Yes.
And nighttime terrors and things like that. I just speak freedom right now. Freedom and redemption that it's impossible to return to what the enemy had planned for your life. We just release freedom in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now we're just going to all just receive some more of his goodness, right? If you just join with me, let's just raise our hands. If raising your hands is new, just know it's a great way to receive. He wants to give you more. You'll never earn more belief. You get to believe, and he gives you more belief. And so right now, we just receive the revelation of your goodness in our lives, that you are good and your love endures forever, God. We just receive the belief system to live supernaturally, God. Lord, where you show us who we can be and where we're going, and we just say, God, increase our belief system. So we just receive your goodness today, God. I just see foundations being shored up in here as you just say, you know what? I'm just going to believe no matter what that he's good. So we just thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the sound that's going to be released out of this place that already has age-old mountains trembling in New Braunfels. So we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.